Michael Kelly, Amy Mark scores with you.
This is a real rager. This gets the party going, doesn't it? People are coming out of the news all pumped up after that one.
Here's what we're trying to do, Michael.
Yeah.
We're trying to lower the temperature.
All right.
We want to bring blood pressure down.
Amen.
We want heart rates to slow because we're going to talk about the IRS and taxes, which I am 41 years old. I have yet to do my taxes without crying at some point. I cry.
Welcome to life.
I cry every year.
It never goes away.
You have your Gap bag full of receipts. I'm like, Dad, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to do this. Well, to speak of the IRS, here's what happened. The IRS created and rolled out a program slowly that allowed Americans to directly file their taxes with the IRS. It was supposed to streamline the process.
You couldn't do that before?
No, which I didn't know that either. It makes it simpler and easier. However, there are a group of Republicans who want to end this direct tax filing tool. And for more information on the tool and why these Republican legislators want this tool to be rolled back, we're joined by Brian Metzger, senior politics reporter for Business Insider. Brian, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to talk with you.
Yes. Well, like I mentioned, I cry every year when it's time to do my taxes, and it's very confusing. And at first glance, this idea of a direct tax filing system seems great. How does this work? And then what are some of the reasons why these Republican legislators want to end the program?
Certainly. So this program actually came about as the result of the Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed by Congress back in 2022. And that bill set aside about $15 million for the IRS to study a program to allow taxpayers to file directly with the IRS. And so that program launched for the first time last year. It was available in 12 states. It's set to be available in 12 more this coming year. And basically what it allows you to do is for your federal taxes, you can just go on the website, you verify whether or not you're eligible to file with the system. And then once you're, you know, cleared and able to use it, you go to your W-2s, you put in the requisite information into the forms, you fill it all out. You know, I've seen folks say that the whole process can take less than an hour to do. And then after that, you get an email that tells you, like, great, like, you've been approved, your taxes have been filed. I should say that it, oh, sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
Well, and this applies just for federal taxes. You know, there are certain workers for whom this doesn't apply yet, gig workers, contract workers, that sort of thing. Folks who have a W-2 are able to use this.
So it cuts out the need for a TurboTax or somebody else who's filing it for you, then you would be doing it directly with the government and there would be no fee.
Yes, exactly. It cuts out sort of the hassle that you all were describing, the need to use a service like TurboTax. It makes it all very, very direct.
Well, I have to tell you, I learned something today. I didn't know you couldn't directly file your taxes with the federal government. That seems a little strange. What seems even more strange is now that they're finding a way to allow you to do that, people want to stop it from happening. What's the argument of these 29 House Republicans?
Well, there's a few different arguments that are being advanced here. In this letter that I reported on last week, you know, about 29 House Republicans made the argument that it's a conflict of interest for the IRS to be running this program because they are not only the enforcer of, you know, tax violations, but they're also, you know, auditing, they're assessing. Basically, they shouldn't be in charge of both enforcement and assessing. They sort of frame this as an overreach of government. They say that the IRS should not be sort of telling Americans what they owe and then, you know, giving them, you know, at least in their argument, less room to sort of contest that. They say that the IRS has an interest in overcharging people for their taxes. And they frame this as sort of a weaponization of government even. You know, they sent a letter to Trump asking him to nix this program via executive order on day one.
Yeah, even if it's not a malicious, intentional weaponization of government. I do kind of get the conflict of interest thing, because when I first heard about the free tax filing, I thought, oh, that makes sense, right? The assessing and the enforcing. And then I remembered, actually, I had a friend who used like an H&R Block or a TurboTax, filed the taxes. The IRS came back and said, you owe more. And H&R Block or TurboTax said, no, actually, look it. This is what we did. Sent it back to the IRS, and the IRS admitted their mistake and said, oh, okay, you're good. And I realized, man, you wouldn't really have much recourse, as you mentioned, for contesting claims that you are taxes that you believe you don't owe.
Yeah, and that's the sort of argument that I think Republicans are leaning heavily on. I mean, folks who support this program would counter that, you know, folks can sort of appeal the assessments, and there is recourse there, but it obviously is less straightforward than it might be under our current system, even if you have to use tax preparing systems like TurboTax.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't know that I was right and the IRS was wrong. You know, like I wouldn't know to even contest it.
So, Brian, is there any indication on what President-elect Trump has said he's going to do to this? I mean, there's 29 Republicans. I can see how some of their arguments might be popular, but some of it may be unpopular. Where does the president fall?
Certainly. Well, you know, when I reported on this story, I reached out to the transition, the Trump-Vance transition. Haven't heard back. And, you know, earlier today, I actually caught up with one of the lawmakers who co-led that letter, Chuck Edwards. He's a Republican congressman from North Carolina. And I asked him if he had heard back from the Trump team, and he said no. I asked him if he had corresponded with former Missouri Congressman Billy Long, who is set to be the IRS commissioner under Trump, assuming he's confirmed by the Senate. He said he hadn't corresponded with him about this either. And so I think, you know, at this point, it's probably a bit unclear as to what will happen. You know, I think what is clear, though, is that Republicans more broadly have been interested in sort of funding the IRS at lower levels than Democrats are interested in funding it at. You know, that rests on a set of arguments about you don't want to empower the IRS to, you know, go after everyday taxpayers and audit folks and that sort of thing. And so I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that Republicans would try to nix this program. But I think it's a little bit unclear exactly what will happen next year.
Brian, do we have any data on how many Americans have used this program so far, or how much money has gone through this direct file system?
So I don't have the exact figure for you on how many folks have used it. I believe it is in the thousands at least. And I know that it's set to be available for about 30 million people next year. And there are some estimates I've seen that the program so far has saved somewhere in the order of about $1 billion, not $11 billion in terms of, you know, fees and times that would have been spent filing taxes and spending time doing this.
Gotcha. And then also, as far as questions about this program like the 29 Republicans who want to end it, is it pretty much split along party lines, or are there Republicans who are for it and Democrats who are against it?
So I don't believe that there are Democrats who are against it. It is, generally speaking, a sort of partisan issue. Mm-hmm. What I'm interested in doing, actually, you know, I'm going to sort of follow up on this reporting, and I'm going to sort of see if I can dig into this topic a little bit more, is see if there are some Republicans out there who are sort of uncomfortable with rolling back a program like this. You know, I think when Republicans are in a position like they have been for the last 4 years, where they're mostly opposing, you know, what the Democratic president is doing, some of those sort of internal disagreements might be more easily papered over. But, you know, when it actually comes down to it, and you're talking about Trump potentially repealing a program that people have already been using, I think that's where we are likely to potentially see, you know, certain divisions opening up among Republicans.
Yeah. And assuming, too, that the Democrats don't plan on expanding this program in the sense that it will always be optional, and assuming that a lot of people will still use, you know, tax experts, third parties to help them.
Yes. I mean, I think it's, you know, obviously we're at a point where we're about to have a new administration. We're about to have full Republican control of Congress. And so I think it's unlikely that we're going to see this program expanded much more beyond where it is now, at least until, you know, Democrats have control of the government again.
Brian Metzger, senior political reporter for Business Insider. We appreciate your time today, and perhaps we can check back in with you as we find out more about the future of this program.
Certainly. Happy to do it, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Brian Metzger, senior politics reporter for Business Insider. Yeah, Michael, that's one of those things where at first I thought, okay, this is not a big deal. If you want a direct file, you can, but I guess there would be a simple, like, hey, there could be a conflict of interest here.
I guess, potentially. I mean, it should be easy to pay your taxes. Particularly, I think they're targeting folks who are going to be not making all the claims, mm-hmm. just putting in their W-2s. You know, when you were a high school kid, the pain that it went to go do your taxes, you know.
Like
so
when
maybe
you
it
switch,
makes it simpler for them.
Yeah, like when you switch from the babysitting where it's a few, you know, $10 here and there
to, the radar.
To suddenly you have a real job,
yeah.
even though you're making less than you made babysitting.
And by the way, isn't that the worst day when you get your first check and you're like, wait a minute, I thought I was going to make $6 an hour and you you know, you got like 12 for the whole week. And they're like, well, the government gets their piece and Social Security? That's for grandma. Why am I paying that?
I'm seven. No.
Exactly.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Where the tree.
I cannot believe that you are going to allow me to do this segment. So
oh,
you
no.
came in and you were talking
oh,
about
no.
advertisements, and I thought, yeah, I can talk advertisements because now I get to ruin Amy's day.
Oh,
are you ready
no.
for this?
No. Come on,
I have a structured settlement and I need cash now.
Call J.D.
Wentworth, 877 cash now. All right, so that horrible ad, which will now be in everybody's head for the rest of the
Michael,
day.
Do you know it took me 3 weeks to get that out of my head last
so
night?
So it's done something for me. It caused me to investigate what is a structured settlement. Now, these people are advertising during football games. They have enough money to advertise during football games, okay?
Yeah.
A structured settlement is if you hurt yourself in a car accident or you have some type of claim or lien where someone owes you money and there's a structured settlement that's going to take place. So you mean to tell me there are enough people in this country with structured settlements that they can advertise? Because I know of nobody with a structured settlement, not one human being. But I know that commercial, and if I did know somebody, I'd be able to tell them, hey, you ought to call these people because they can get you cash now. So did you know what a structured settlement was?
I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I could guess. Like, I could say, like, some people went to a new piece of land and decided to make a town.
No.
And their tents were everywhere. And someone walked in and said, look, you have bathrooms here, the general store here. You need this settlement needs more structure.
Well, that's not what a structured settlement is.
This settlement has no structure whatsoever.
But it amazes me that there's niche groups out there that have these big national advertisements. There's one here that on KMOX that I think's funny too, which is the
Well, wait. I got to tell you this.
All right.
The structured settlement industry placed how much money in premiums in 2023?
I don't know. $5
billion. $8.6 billion in structured settlements. They placed $8.6 billion in premiums in 2023. It was a record-setting year.
So
J.G. Wentworth is doing okay.
And I guess that makes sense because when I'm driving down the highway, have you noticed that like the billboards that used to say, you know, Del Mar Gardens or whatever, or call this law firm that all use the same phone number? And then the next one that's called this law firm, I guess that's where all these structured settlements come from.
It said with the structure. Yeah, I hadn't. I mean, obviously it had to do with money, but it's like the difference, like you said, between a lump sum and a structured settlement. It said after being educated on the difference between a lump sum and a structured settlement, 73% of Americans would choose a structured settlement payout when they received their settlement in a personal injury case. But I mean, every lawyer, it seems like, is a litigation attorney.
Right.
We're very litigious to society.
We are. I mean, enough that there's enough settlements that there's a company that can advertise during football, which is the most expensive advertising time out there, to tell you, call us and we'll get you cash now.
That's insane.
Think about that.
I love that you looked up a structured settlement because like I said, could guess, but not really know.
But I mean, it's annoying to me. So yeah. Like that. Wow. I guess it's not annoying. The commercial's annoying. But then it was in my head and I'm like, what even is that? Would I buy a structured settlement? I didn't even know where you would get one. And then I started to realize, well, I don't even know anybody who sues anybody. I've been sued, but like that, you know, give me a break. That's just interesting to me.
Yeah.
It's like these people buying powder for the end of the world.
It's I was just thinking, sorry, I can't get off the structured settlement.
Go ahead.
I was like, it's like if you go to Colonial Virginia, that's settlement structures. That's what those cabins are. Anyway, yeah, okay, so.
You're going to be taking your shower tonight singing J.D. Wentworth.
I am. Uh-huh. I can't stop singing it. Well, okay. I have often said, listen, I'm cynical. Mm-hmm. This business has broken me. I really used to be a positive, happy person, and the news has broken me. But as bad and as cynical as I am not my Patriot Supply cynical.
Yeah.
Like I'm, because the commercial, I'd be driving into work, and you say, oh, it's the KMOX Christmas holiday show, and oh, we got the figure skating. Like, look out the window. It's bad out there. You see them. Bread lines. People fighting. Kids falling over in the street, people being pushed out of wheelchairs. My Patriot Supply. I'm like, oh my gosh, wow, that's really bad. I don't know what window he's looking out of, but it's really bad. So now they've adjusted.
Right.
Because it used to be like, those in charge, they don't want you to think anything is wrong. Nothing is wrong. That's right. What they tell you, but everything is wrong. But now they have to change their tagline because they have a different administration. So now it's, things are looking up. Yeah, you may be excited about the new administration, but don't be fooled. Things can still go wrong. War, famine, and God forbid, nuclear bombs. And I'm like, yes. Oh my gosh.
Right?
What? Like, I mean, I get it. Listen, I'm not meaning to be mock being prepared. You can be prepared. I know a lot of people who have like extra water and toilet paper because we ran out of toilet paper during COVID. But man, come on.
And let's be honest. This is powdered food. This is like meals ready to eat in giant buckets that you're going to buy. And near as I can tell, the people they're targeting are also the people who are the ones who are usually lecturing me that I need my gun for hunting. So there's not going to be any animals for you to shoot anymore. So now you're just going to sit around and warm up water and eat paste.
And don't be mad. I'm just kind of laughing and joking because, like I said, I know
I'm being serious. Well, I don't understand.
I know, right? I mean, I know a lot of good people, right?
Who have buckets of powder at home.
Yeah, they've got stuff, that's fine. You know, you do you. It's more of the commercial. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I learned a lesson: have more toilet paper if you want toilet paper. But it's there's a difference between saying, hey, let's be prepared, and heaven forbid a nuclear bomb lands directly on your head. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's so dark.
Totally.
We don't like to be moderate.
But I wonder how much money there. I mean, you just said, look at the structured settlement business is $9 billion in premiums alone. I wonder how many people are there. Is there $9 million worth of powdered food being sold in buckets to people out there?
I don't know.
We should get into...
I think I want a structured settlement.
I do too.
I need cash now.
Yes.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. Bernie Miklas, KMOX Sports contributor, joins us next.
Oh, what fun it is to... I'll have a blue Christmas.
Michael Kelly, Amy Mark Scores alongside you, and we welcome in... as we do every Tuesday and Thursday, Bernie Miklas, KMOX Sports contributor. Bernie, how are you doing?
Good to be with you as always.
Well, Blue Christmas. How about those Blues? They're still on the new coach bump, I guess you could say. Do you see this carrying out? Like, this is the new team, or do you think they're going to come back down a bit?
There's going to be challenges, but you know, all systems go since they. Hired Jim Montgomery to replace Drew Bannister. I mean, the Blues are 6-2-2. They've gotten of all the maximum points they could have gotten in those 10 games. They've gotten 70% of them. Since he's taken over in terms of even strength, the Blues are scoring 59% of the goals. Since he's taken over, they're allowing in terms of even strength goals per 60 minutes. There's only five teams that are allowing fewer. They got to get the power play going. But the thing I like about it, and I don't mean to make such a long answer, is that the Blues' best players are performing like their best players after the coaching change. I'm talking about Thomas, Holloway, Kyrou, Buchnevich, Shen, Neighbors, Balduk, and those are just the forwards. We could put Parayko and some other guys in there. But they're getting their best performances out of the guys that have to be their best players. And, you know, frankly, that wasn't happening earlier in the season. So I think that part of it is really encouraging if you're a Blues fan.
Was there an energy change in the locker room that can be credited to, or is there some strategy changing? Has he mixed up the lines? Has he changed the offense or the defense? Or is it just pure energy of a new coach?
Well, he's got a great record in the National Hockey League as a coach. I've worn this stat out, but I'll do it one more time. Sorry. Among coaches in the history of the league that have had at least 300 games in the regular season behind the bench, Jim Montgomery, and this sort of fluctuates between one or the other, but Jim Montgomery, the last time I checked, which was the other day, he's got the third best winning percentage of all time. And if you look at his work in Dallas and Boston and here, and you add it all up, I mean, this guy has got an exceptional points percentage as a head coach. So when he walks in, and this is not a slap at Drew Bannister, but when Jim Montgomery walked in, number one, he's got a great track record. He commands instant respect. They know he's a winner. They know he's made teams better. They also, number two, a lot of these key players, 15 Blues, but a lot of them are the most important players. They know Jim Montgomery well because he was an assistant to Craig Berube for 2 years. And he really did a lot to make the team better during that time he was here. So he walks in and he's got a great personality. He's very upbeat. He'll also hold players accountable, but he's not cruel about it. He's not trying to put on a show to impress people. He's so supportive and he is so upbeat as far as teaching and coaching and suggesting where guys have to improve. They've really responded to that. But if he sees something he doesn't like, he'll bark about it too. And I think the accountability level has really, really increased since he became the coach. And there's just a more positive vibe now. And I think because they have such belief in Jim Montgomery. I really believe that.
And this, want to mention that this Bernie Miklas report is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Bernie, speaking of bringing in Jim Montgomery, like, we know the Blues came into this year with the idea, okay, we're retooling, we're kind of focusing on the youth, we're rebuilding. Then the Blues bring in Jim Montgomery, and we think, okay, do they want to be competitive now? Because you're bringing in this high-profile coach while you're still under the auspices of a retooling year. Then the Blues sign veteran defenseman Cam Fowler. So these two moves between Jim Montgomery and Cam Fowler say, while the Blues want a youth movement, they want to make the playoffs this year.
I think they want to get a lot closer. And with the Fowler, with Jim Montgomery, listen, this was a decision based on the long term. Like, he got a 5-year contract that he'll be around here a long time. So I don't think it was as much about this year. It is about this season, of course, because the Blues were playing terribly. They had the 25th best points percentage in the league when he took over. Since he's taken over, they're in the top 7 or 8 in the league as far as success. And across the board, everything is better. So, yeah, they were hoping – Doug Armstrong was hoping that he would catch fire. The team would catch fire and respond to Montgomery, and they have. And I think they'll continue to play well. They're much in the wild card picture right now, even though they play in the Central Division, which is brutally tough. But Jim Montgomery's going to be here for a long, long time. And I think that this was that hiring was to get the best, the maximum out of the Blues this season. And then as more young players enter the Blues big club roster, he's a guy that has shown he knows how to coach young players very, very well. The Cam Fowler, I like it because he's one of the most experienced defensemen in the league. The Blues are all beat up, you know, with Letty being out. And their top four defensemen were playing way too many minutes. So they have to find a way to kind of level that out. And Cam Fowler comes here with a really great reputation. He can also help him out on the power play. His first two games, and it's only two games, but he worked with primarily with Colton Parayko, and those two were very, very good together. So people were down on Fowler because he had a big minus number next to his name. because Anaheim has just been a horrible team. But it's a team sport. I don't blame that on Fowler. He's still a highly respected defenseman. So I thought it was a good move. And it's also limited liability. So it's the Blues got some money with the deal. So $4 million this year. And then the cap hit next year is $4 million. And then his contract's up. It's not like they'd have to drag this contract deep into the future. This is a short-term solution. I think it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it's a good move. I think I don't put much weight on a plus-minus because you look at Chris Pronger, one of the best defensemen the Blues ever had, a Hall of Famer. He always had a high-minus score because when you are the top defenseman, you are night in and night out playing against the league's top lines. Every opponent, you're playing against their top line. You're playing the largest chunk of minutes, and you're playing on the penalty kill. So you are going to be on the ice for more opponents' goals just by nature of the task you're asked to do each night.
No doubt about it. And I think there has been a change too, getting back to the previous question. You know, he has a different setup, I think, than Bannister did. I'm not saying Bannister's system was wrong. I mean, he did very well after taking over for Berube. But the Blues have much more structure in the neutral zone and in the defensive zone now. And they're more organized in their own end, which is why they've really cut down on goals against, and why now Hofer and Binnington, they've combined for like the top four, the number four save percentage in the league since the change was made. It's because the Blues are allowing fewer premium shots, high danger areas, you know, sweet spot shots. So they're giving their goaltenders a chance to do what they do, which is to play very, very well. And they don't have to keep stealing games, although they're highly capable of that. But what I really like about Montgomery, from what I've seen, and the players have commented on this, he really believes in letting his horses run. Like the guys that are really good skaters, who have speed, who are creative, who, you know, find ways to create something. He lets them go. He's encouraging them to go, run, get after it. They don't hold back now, so they're more dangerous now because they have an attacking mindset offensively, and that's a big change too.
Bernie, over on the sidelines with the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes suffered a high ankle sprain on Sunday in the midst of an 11-day stretch where the Chiefs are playing three games. And with the Chiefs in the position they're in, 13-1, what do you anticipate regarding Mahomes getting back on the field or maybe waiting for the playoffs, even if it means giving up a game or two?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, one of the things about Mahomes, you never assume anything when he gets hurt. Remember the ankle injury he had a couple years ago? I think it was a couple years ago. It looked like, they're in big, big trouble. And he came back. He came back the next game and he was totally fine. He looked as good as ever. Maybe not quite as fast, but he could play on a bad ankle, and he won a Super Bowl on a bad ankle. So he's kind of a freak that way. He has amazing recuperative power. So I'll be really curious to see the next game out. But here's the deal. And I'm going to try to explain this like concisely instead of rambling. You know, the Chiefs, if you go back to last season, until they won the other day in Cleveland 21-7, and Cleveland gave the game to them with, you know, five turnovers, by the way. But in the 15 games, including the postseason that led up to that, the Chiefs had won all 15 by one score. Every single game was close. And Mike Sando, a friend of mine who writes for The Athletic, he's brilliant, he pointed out that in every one of those wins, every one of those 15 in a row wins, there was a point or two in the game where the Chiefs really needed Mahomes to do something. They were in trouble. And every time, and we're talking about his scrambling, as a runner, every single game at a big, big moment, he would break out of the pocket and run for 20 yards, run for 26 yards, run for 15 yards. His running ability had saved them a lot during that 15 game winning streak in close games. That's the key. Is he going to be able to run the way that they need him to run to escape? Because frankly, their left tackle and their offensive line is not protecting him well at all this season. It's a big problem for the Chiefs.
I think he'll get his health together by the end of the season. But as you look at this team right now, at 13-1, the record is impressive. But can they get past the Buffalo Bills to get back to the big dance with the team they have right now?
That's a great question, because it sounds totally nuts, and I'm not one of these people that, you know, takes success for granted, and I really admire and respect the Chiefs, and I would love watching them play. But and I can't say they've been lucky, because they have a Hall of Fame coach and they have a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they have a guy that should be in the Hall of Fame if they ever put coordinators in there. That would be Steve Spagnuolo. I can't say they're lucky. They're very resourceful and they're very tough-minded, but they shouldn't be sitting here with one loss. I mean, they really shouldn't be. They haven't. That's their record, and it is what your record is, what it says that you are, and whatever that is. I just messed that up, the old Dennis Green thing. But they really should have about four losses or so, you know? So I wonder if reality will hit, and reality will hit when they're going up against the Bills, and there's some other dangerous teams in the AFC. I wonder how long, much longer, the Chiefs can continue to get away with this, especially if Mahomes is hobbled in any way that prevents him from doing everything that he wants to do and has to do. I think they're vulnerable is a better way to put it.
Yeah. Hey, Bernie, before we let you go, I did want to say, I'm sure you thought the same thing. The City of St. Louis awarded the 2026 U.S. Figure Skating Championships at Enterprise Center, and all I could think was, I am so glad Enterprise went through those renovations from 2017 to 2019, because we would not be getting the high-profile events that we're getting if those had not been done.
Yeah, I love that. It's a big deal. It's a national marquee event. There'll be great interest in it. There'll be a light shined on St. Louis. And I agree with you. You know, I hadn't been to the Enterprise Center for a while, and had been there recently. And I was like, wow, this place looks absolutely great. And I know those renovations happened a while back, but it looks great. They've done everything they can to make it look like an arena that just opened brand new, like two or three seasons ago. But I think this is an opportunity for St. Louis to try to polish up whatever national image there is right now. Because look, I'm a city resident, proud to be one. There are problems. We're dealing with a lot of things. It's not always easy. It's not always handsome or pretty. But this is still a great town with a lot to offer. And I like when St. Louis has a chance to showcase itself in a very positive way.
Bernie, you want to tell us about Saliga?
Speaking of positive, yes. Saliga, Saliga Heating and Cooling is really important in our lives. And I know that sounds dramatic, but listen, when you live in an old house and, you know, you're always worried about something not working right when it comes to heating and cooling, you have to make some calls, and you got to get some help on the way. And that's why we say, you know, they've been very important to the Mikluses, because we've been relying on them for 15, 16 years and they've never let us down. But there's nothing new there. Because this independent American Standard and Heating and Air Conditioning dealer has been helping St. Louis families, generations of families, since 1927. So the tradition continues. And we've learned firsthand just how great they are. 100% credibility, professionalism, trustworthiness, class when they come into your home. Their knowledge is really impressive, because they have saved us money by making recommendations that will save us money, rather than, hey, well, they don't understand. Well, let's just try to sell them some new equipment or whatever. They don't do that. I mean, they're just so straight up with people, and you can trust them when they come into your home and they tell you what's wrong and what the solutions are. One other thing before I go on Saliga Heating and Cooling, I would recommend becoming a member of the Priority Club. It's a maintenance program. We're members. I would definitely endorse it, because it gives you peace of mind before the winter, peace of mind before the hot summer, that your stuff is working great, and it'll save you money in the long run. You also get some perks that come with that. And they also have that American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning equipment, which is the gold standard. So if you want to see all the list of services, you want to find out more about the Priority Club, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, and you'll see the phone number there. Thank you.
Very regal.
Oh, now it's a little country.
It's a little,
yeah, the old left turn. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. Happy holidays, Michael. Oh, Dean Martin.
Christmas.
Speaking of Christmas, you know. I have to give a shout out to our guy, Drew Young.
Yeah.
He's behind the glass over here. If you are on the watching us on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook on the Chris and Amy Show live stream, you can see I'm wearing a very awesome Ted Drew's Christmas sweatshirt in the style of like an ugly Christmas sweater. Like it looks kind of knitted. It's a Ted Drew's Christmas sweatshirt. It is so awesome. And you can buy them at Ted Drew's. So now, go to Ted Drew's. Matt, you got your Christmas tree at Ted Drew's this year.
I did, and did not get a discount from Drew Young.
did you order your size of your sweatshirt there, Amy?
I ordered it from Drew Young. I like the oversized look, Michael.
Well, I think that would fit me. It looks like a dress on you.
That's how I buy my sweaters and sweatshirts, like a medium or a large.
Uh-huh.
The oversized look. It's very comfortable.
Yeah.
And it allows freedom of movement, and it's not restricting or constricting. Anyway.
It looks like it's a thick, comfy, warm sweatshirt.
It's amazing. So Ted Drew's, I didn't even know they had holiday sweatshirts, but they do. You can go buy your Christmas tree. You can go get a sweatshirt. I've got a whole litany of things you can also do. We spoke yesterday with the director of the Red Cross for Missouri and Arkansas, and how the holidays are a time when people are busy. Obviously, you've got things to do. You're not thinking about giving blood. So the blood stores drop during this time, but also people are getting into car accidents. They're needing surgeries. And so the Red Cross does need blood. So you can join us at the Odyssey Holiday Heroes Blood Drive. It started today, Tuesday, December 17th. It goes through Friday. A ton of different locations across the Missouri and Illinois areas, a lot of different times. It's super easy from start to finish. You can be in and out within an hour. They have cookies and maybe some juice. And it's any information you need, redcrossblood.org. You can also, on our Odyssey KMOX website, we've got the information, but it's the Odyssey Holiday Heroes Blood Drive. And also, guess what we're doing right now? We're giving away winter warm-up tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's the phone number?
It's the contest line. So you need to be the sixth caller to the contest line, 314-955-1120, 314-955-1120. Be the sixth caller right now. You could win a pair of tickets to the Cardinals winter warm-up. It's always that weekend of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so it's always a fun time. It's, again, the Ballpark Village, Busch Stadium thing. A ton of fun. So be the sixth caller. Good luck.
Yeah, 314-955-1120. I had no clue we even had a contest line. And had you put a gun to my head and said, Michael, what is the contest line? I would not have guessed 955-1120.
Well, good thing you're excluded from playing the game. he's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. When we come back, we will be joined by Heather Sweeney, the executive director of the Gateway Foundation. Great news, guys. The city garden lights are up for the holidays. It's gorgeous. This is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Well.